this service tonight. We pray for that, and above all things, in Jesus' name, I pray. Intercession by the Spirit. When you think about the Holy Spirit, there's a lot to think about there. What kind of a spirit is the Holy Spirit? I don't think this one word's going to give us the definition of it, but Zechariah 12:10, the first part of that verse said, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of supplication." The spirit of supplication. Supplication is the action of asking or begging for something earnestly and humbly. That's what we do when we pray, and that's the kind of a spirit that the Holy Spirit is as well. And in our text, verse 27, the very first part of verse 27, it says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, boy, you know, that's a key thing, that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, a lot, and the Bible talks about this, and I'll say something about it here in a minute, that a lot of times we know not what to pray, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, we'll talk about it here in a bit, makes intercession for us. And so one thing about the Holy Spirit, that spirit of intercession or spirit of supplication, the Holy Spirit knows what to pray. I mean, he's making intercession according to the will of God. I don't know that we always do that, but if we're filled with the Spirit, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we do that? We would make intercession, if we're filled with the Spirit, with the mind of Christ and the mind of the Spirit. And so, we see that our worship, our prayer is to be in spirit and in truth, the Bible tells us, in spirit and in truth. That's, we really can't worship apart from the Holy Spirit. We really can't pray not correctly apart from the Holy Spirit. This is an important thing. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit, and so we're filled with this. There's so many reasons why, but you know, some of the things we don't look at and praying is one of the things. If we're filled with the Spirit of God, we're praying with the mind of Christ, we're praying rightly, we're praying in the will of God, and those are the prayers that get answered. You know, if you're praying a bunch of prayers that never get answered, I guess we could say that, you know, we're not really praying in the will of God. I mean, God's not wanting us to pray just so he can say no all the time. And so we're probably not praying in the will of God. A.W. Tozer said, "Prayer is the breathing of the Spirit in us." Prayer is the breathing of the Spirit in us. And sometimes, I'll try to explain it, but and some of you are going to know what I'm talking about. But, you know, sometimes, and I'm probably way ahead of where I've got this point down. I'm going to talk about it and again, but it's on my mind now, so I'm going to go with it. Sometimes we just don't know what to pray. And sometimes we don't know, you know, we just don't know what to do. And you sit there, Bob, but you get in the Spirit. You know, you start praying maybe. Sometimes preaching, man. Sometimes I don't feel in the Spirit when I get ready to preach. I feel kind of cold. I feel kind of indifferent. And I can get it done, you know, because I know the text. I've read my text. I've studied my text. I've got my outline points. But preaching that and preaching in the Spirit's not the same. And so I can get it done. But boy, sometimes you get started. You don't feel like anything. But boy, you start getting started and God starts moving. And man, guess what? It starts coming. And sometimes with prayer, it's the same way. We don't know what we ought to pray, boy, but we start praying and telling God we don't know what we ought to pray. And we start communicating with God. And boy, the Spirit moves in us. And then all of a sudden, man, we're starting to pray things we hadn't thought about before we started to pray. And so it's the Holy Spirit. Prayer is the breathing of the Spirit in us. I agree with that. And but, you know, I said, you know, that's what Tozer said it is. I believe that's biblical. I believe that's correct. But yet we see a lot of failure in prayer, right? We see a lot of weakness in prayer. You know, I don't even think, for the average Christian, we don't even see or feel the power in prayer when we get ready to pray. We don't believe it. See, we don't believe that we've got power. You know, you pray differently when you know it's going to do something. You know, when we know we got power in prayer. We don't believe that. And so then it causes us to fail to pray. You know, because it's just, We don't understand it totally the way we should, and even though maybe we've heard and read the scriptures and those things right there. And then, like I say, when we do pray, we see weakness. We see a lot of routineness or mechanicalness. You see that in Christianity all the way around. We see that in attendance, church attendance, and church worship, and every aspect, singing, praying. We see a lot of mechanical, routine things. You know, it's not the freedom of the Spirit moving in us as we do these things. And, you know, and it's no wonder, it's no wonder things are the way they are in the church whole, you know, just with a lot of indifference and towards the things of God. You know, we see that, and part of it's, you know, maybe our own selves, you know, not being filled with the Spirit and having that awareness of the presence of God. Prayer in our life is a measure of the Spirit's work in us. You got this? Prayer in our life, this is a measurement. It's something you can gauge the Holy Spirit's work in you, how your prayer life is. See, because when we're full of the Spirit's a spirit of intercession. He's a spirit of supplication. The Holy Spirit is a praying spirit. He's a praying person, really. He's a person. He's praying as well. And when we're full of the Spirit, you know, we're a praying people. You know, we understand the power of that. And that's a measurement. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? And that measures that. Effectual, fervent prayer depends upon the indwelling of the Spirit. And so, and for us to pray right, the life of the Spirit must be right in us. That's a point. So I got a few points to consider tonight that maybe will help us along the way when we think about this in prayer. The number one, I don't have it alliterated either, believing the Spirit dwells in us. Number one is believing the Spirit dwells in us. I'm going to give you a verse right here. When I first got saved, I guess every now and then we get some favorite verses along our Christian life sometimes. I think my verse I use now, Galatians 2:20 is the verse I sign all my woodworking with. I like that verse a lot. This verse here was a verse that I grabbed onto when I was a new Christian. Two verses. And there's a lot in it. But this is Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. Earnest is a down payment. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, what I liked about that, man, I was around a lot of people that thought you could lose your salvation, and that's eternal security verse right there. Huh? It said we were sealed. You know who can break the seal? We can't break it. We can't break the seal. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance. I've got an inheritance. Until when? Until when we don't do right? Until when we fail? Until when we sin? No, it said until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is us. We are the purchased possession, purchased by the blood of Christ. Love that verse, those two verses right there. And so here we have the Holy Spirit. That God says, you know, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit upon salvation. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And so what we have to do is we really got to get a grip on this. We've got to get a belief. I mean, I know that we casually believe it. You know, you've heard it before, right? This shouldn't be anything new to anybody in here, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us when we're saved. Start thinking about that. I mean, start really believing that God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. He's living in you. He's working in you. And you know, might say, I know, like I said, I'll be ahead again, but you may not feel like it's working in there, and you can't tell that He's working in you, but He's working in you. He's working in you, and He's willing to work more if we just be surrendered to it. We got to be surrendered to it. Yeah, just surrender to Him. That's all we got to do. And so, you know, we have to believe it. And as I said, we may not feel it, but the Bible says it's true. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have to have a feeling about it. It's what God said. Now, God's either lying, or he's telling the truth, and we know he's telling the truth, so we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. God himself. That's a profound thought. Roll that pea around in your head there a little bit tonight when you lay down. This is a powerful thing. And he's not in there for nothing. I mean, he's not in there just so you get goosebumps and the hair on the back of your neck stand up every once in a while. He's in there working in you. He's working in you. And all of us that are saved, he's working there. And what's he working? In that transformation process, that sanctification process, and he's conforming us into the image of Christ. He's working there, and it's going to involve all the spiritual things, the prayer life, our prayer life, and along with it, it'll certainly be one of the main things, because we can't do anything without prayer. We need to be in prayer. We can't serve God. We can't do anything. We can't witness. We can't soul win. Matter of fact, we don't want to if we're not filled with the Spirit of God. And so the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So see, we may not see it. We may not even feel it. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God is in us, dwelling in us, working in us. So if we measure our prayer power by what we feel or what we think we can accomplish, we're going to be discouraged more often than not. If we measure our prayer power, like we pray and say, well, I didn't really feel any power, you know. If we measure it by that, the Bible didn't say we had to feel it, we have to believe it. It says we have to believe it. It doesn't say you have to feel it, and it doesn't say you have to see it. It says you just have to believe it. And this is what we got. Boy, that Ephesians verse, you keep look at that thing really carefully. Ephesians 1, chapter 13 and 14. Read that verse right there. Those are great verses right there. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we got a down payment. Galatians 3:14, the last little part of the verse, 14b, I put on it. It tells us that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, faith. Faith doesn't see. Faith doesn't feel. Faith just believes. That's how it works. When we don't know how or what to pray, spoke about that a minute ago, we still have to believe that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us when we don't know. The Holy Spirit's praying. Jesus even said, I pray for you. He said that in his own self. So Jesus said he prays for us. So whether we don't feel anything and we don't believe anything, and we might even be praying amiss or not praying at all, but the Holy Spirit is praying for us. Not that, that doesn't mean he doesn't want us to pray. And so, like I said, you know, so many times in my life, and that's happened. I felt cold. I felt like, you know, you get up in the morning sometimes. Sometimes I usually try to get in the Word first. Doesn't always happen, man. We get to talking about something, and then this happens, and the phone rings, and you know, and everything. And boy, then I say, well, hey, we ought to pray because we ought to pray, right? How many of us, you know, you have to make time to pray. Man, what if we waited till we felt like praying? Nobody'd ever feel like it, because Satan would make sure we'd never feel like praying. So we say, hey, I'm going to pray. And we sit down, but yet we're saying, we kind of feel this. We kind of feel like, well, I'm not overflowing with this desire to pray. It's not that I have a problem with it. I'm just not overflowing with the desire. But I know I ought to pray, so I'm sitting down to pray. We don't feel, we think in the back of our mind, at least I do, man, I ought to feel more spiritual than this when I'm getting ready to sit down and pray to God Almighty, right? I ought to feel that way. But we're not basing it on a feeling. So then what? We sit down. We don't know what to pray. We don't feel like praying. But then we got to go back to this point right here. Just believe that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you. That the Holy Spirit of God there, and he's making intercession. And I'm going to tell you what, you just open up your mouth and you can tell God what you feel. God, I don't know why, but I feel cold. I don't really feel like praying, but I know I should pray. Lord, help me. Help my unbelief like that one guy. And start praying. And I'm going to tell you what, boy, you're going to start feeling something then, because the Holy Spirit is going to start moving and working. That's what God wants us to do. And so we believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Keep thinking about that point right there. Number one point, believe that the Spirit. I know we say it verbally but maybe casually that, oh, yeah, we believe that. But I mean, really grab on to the truth that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Get a hold of that. That'll help you in a lot of areas in life, huh? You get tempted in sin, that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Like we said, how much sin would you fall into if Jesus was standing right beside you? Huh? Okay, well, he's living in you. He's living in you. He's closer than beside you because he's in you and he knows what you're thinking too. That's scary. Huh? Might as well, you want to have altar call now or you want to wait till the end of the message? Huh? It'd be a good time to maybe, confess up, right? The second point is, beware of grieving the Holy Spirit. Beware of grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." We just read that over in Ephesians chapter 1. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Listen, I hate to use words like he can't. It's probably a truth. But let me put it this way, he doesn't work in us when we grieve in him. And maybe because of his holiness, he can't. I would say it that way. Now, we grieve the Holy Spirit a lot of ways. Sin is the main deal. It's from sin, but by unbelief. Unbelief is really a sin. Unbelief. No, we're not believing what we, on point one. We missed point one. Selfishness, unfaithfulness, disobedience to the voice that's in our conscience that God speaks to us with when we don't do what God, You know, it's just like there's time. There's these slight little leadings of God. And listen, if we're not obedient in the small things, then we quench the Holy Spirit and we grieve the Holy Spirit. And then we don't hear the voice in the big things. You know, there's just times you got to. Yesterday, I met this couple, somebody, they wanted to buy some of that woodworking stuff. I got to talking to them. They were Christian people. Met them down there at Exxon in town. They came all the way from Augusta County, wanted to meet and hooked up with them. Got talking to them, what kind of church. They were having missions weekend this weekend. We got to talking, getting ready to leave. And I, you know, human old me, I didn't think about anything spiritual, but it was just like this split second, pray with them people. I said, hey, let me pray with you before you go. Now, I could have just blown it off. I didn't know him from the man in the moon, just met him. Lady'd seen me over at some craft show in Bedford 3.5 years ago. Just messaged me on my phone, wanted to buy a shelf and coat rack. And got it all hooked up. And we talked, friendly folks, found out, you know, they were Christian folks, this and that. Hey, they're Christians. Okay, well, they don't need salvation if they're Christian, but they still need prayer, right? And it's just like I'm getting ready to turn. My old body was. I said, hey, listen. Holy Spirit of God said, hey, let's pray with him. I said, let me pray with you. Now, where'd that come from? Didn't come from my flesh. Didn't come from my superior wisdom. It was God speaking. And I could have just went, I'm going to hurry up. We'd already talked for like a half an hour. I could have ran out of there. But if I'm not going to be faithful in that little, what about the big things God wants to say? Is he going to say, is the Holy Spirit going to say anything? So we grieve the Holy Spirit. According to Ephesians 4:30, we don't have to grieve him. It says, grieve not. We don't have to. Because the Holy Spirit himself gives us the power not to. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, so we don't have to grieve the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a... Yeah, he's the one. He's our power. It's not in us, it's in him. So not having the awareness of the indwelling Spirit is another cause of failure in our life, I think. And listen, he's greater than sin. God is greater than sin. Amen. In every case, in sin's power. God is greater than sin's power. You can believe that. We're trusting the Holy Spirit. You know, our text said that we know not what we should pray as we ought, you know, not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit knows. The Spirit knows. I think sometimes you just start moving your lips and the words are going to come. He talked about that, talked about witnessing. The Bible even says in witnessing, you know, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but don't worry about what to say. I'll put the words in your mouth. Huh? I guess God does that. The Spirit himself helpeth our infirmities, the Bible there. So We can come before God in quietness, in stillness, and sometimes not even saying anything, maybe just thinking, meditating upon God. Meditate upon the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you and see if something don't start coming out in the way of prayer, right? And believe the Holy Spirit is working in you. The Bible says He is. The Bible says He's working in us. And he's praying, and I believe prayer will come to us when we start thinking about these things, the right things. And so surrender to His intercession for you. That's a key thing right there. The third thing is be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. All right, has God given us a command that's an impossibility? No, He never does. It is a possibility. He doesn't command anything from us. But then it also tells us that it doesn't automatically happen. If it automatically happened, He wouldn't have to say it. It happens when we surrender to the Holy Spirit. I believe this in Christianity. This is a major problem in Christianity, that too many people are content with a small measure of the Spirit's indwelling. But the Bible tells us to be filled. We have the Holy Spirit. Now be filled. We're not like a gas tank that runs out. Or if you got an EV, we're not like an electric vehicle that the charge is draining down on. But it just means be controlled. Allow more control of, we hold back too many rooms that we don't let God into. We hold back. That's what it really means there. And so we get content with just a small measure of what God does. And I think, and I've said this over the years and years, that I've noticed in Christianity that too many Christians are content with the place that they are in their Christian walk, in their Christian life. They're saved, but they're just content with where they are, which would go hand in hand with being content with whatever measure of the Spirit that they have. But the Bible is a command from God. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled, and that means start yielding entirely yourself, your total self, over to Him. And so our failure in prayer has been caused by our not having accepted the Spirit of prayer to be our lives, to be that. This starts to be our life. I think this, the Spirit of prayer, that phrase, we look at it like this, like, well, I ought to pray. And then we get these time slots. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. We know that. But we can be in the Spirit of prayer all the time. This is what it says, pray always, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be on your knee everywhere you go, get a skateboard so you can put one knee on it and roll along praying everywhere you go. It doesn't mean that, but that means the Spirit of prayer. We're not looking at it as a time. See, that's that time clock Christianity. Time to punch in at church. Time to punch in Sunday night. Time to clock out. Time to clock in Wednesday. Clock out Wednesday night. It's not that. This is your life. You're our prayer. And so it's not like we pray every morning, but we can be having a spirit of prayer. When you're in an attitude of prayer, in the spirit of prayer, see those little incidences where you ought to pray with somebody? It always happens. Always happen. So it's not like this segmented part. Our Christian life is too segmented with the secular world. It should be a flow. It's a flow. This is just what our life is. It's just what we do. This is what we do. And when we get to that point, getting a hold of this thing, getting a hold of what God wants us to be and how God wants us to be. And so our whole being there. I think we hesitate to seek to be filled. I think there's a fear. I think there's a fear that God is somehow going to change things in our life. And there will be. But it won't be for bad. No, it'll be better. Will you get outside of your comfort zone? Yeah. Will you get outside? See, we're such creatures of habit. We're just so afraid of anything new. The older we get, the worse we are about it because of routine. We're just afraid that God might do something with me, and the next thing you know, I'll be witnessing to somebody. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have a heart attack. It'd be the greatest thing ever. Ain't nothing better. There's nothing like it when the Spirit of God's moving in you and you're talking to somebody about the Lord. Amen. It's just nothing like it. The man, Stanley, say, man, he was so excited. We get done and go soul winning and lead somebody to the Lord. He said, man, I feel so good. Let's go get a beer. He was just kidding around. We only stopped a couple times. No, I'm just kidding. Stanley said, man, yeah, he'd horse around. We'd go out to somebody's house and we'd lead somebody to the Lord years ago. And man, he goes, man, that is good. I feel so good. Let's go get a beer. We just laughed about it. I think he got some, took him home to Shelbyville. Oh, man, but it feels good. It feels good. Man, it's just because we're doing what God wants us to do. See, if we say this, it's like this. I can preach on prayer, and I have been for Sunday night on top of Sunday night. And we all look around and might think in our mind, well, you know, I need to pray more. How many of you ever thought that? Huh? I need to pray more. If we say it, you're going to fail. If you say, I need to pray more, you're going to fail. Because, see, you're in the flesh. We're trying to do it in the flesh. If we surrender to the Holy Spirit, this is where, there's Band-Aids, and there's a reason you need a Band-Aid, right? You know, that's what it is. We're treating the symptom and not the cause. If we surrender to the Holy Spirit, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? The needing to pray more requests, that'll all be taken care of. Oh, I need to witness to somebody. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, you will witness to somebody. You just can't stop. Look at all them stories in the Bible. Man, Jesus even told a couple of them, don't tell anybody what happened, and they couldn't keep their mouths shut. I don't think he was all that mad about it. Huh? They went out and told everybody, you ain't gonna believe I met this man and told me everything I'd ever done. And boy, I mean, they got saved. They could not keep quiet to save their life. They went away rejoicing. They went away telling people. They went back to their towns and cities, and they talked to people and said, this is what happened. Why? Because they were filled with the Spirit of God. You're a soul winning machine. They didn't have any classes on soul winning, you know, how to do it. We did a thing here years ago. We were on the old side. Some of you weren't even going here then. Y'all remember? We did a soul win. I did a thing on soul winning. Over there on the other side, how to do it, and we went through the whole thing, and then we had this thing where you had the person that was sitting next to you. It ended up being Rhonda Lawson was sitting in the row, and we had Mary's daughter Ruthie's husband was a pastor, and his name's on the tip of my tongue. Can't think of it. He just passed away here about a year or so ago. Anyway, her husband, he taught a little thing on it, and we had one of the things we had to do. We had to go over and practice leading the person beside you to the Lord. And boy, old Rhonda was sitting there, and I was in her row. I was hurt the one she had, so I was going to be like real hard to, you know, well, what about this? And what about made it hard. But you had to physically, verbally talk to the person beside you like what you would do if you were talking to somebody. And everybody was like, whoo, they was in a panic. Yeah, the crowd thinned out after that. But we had to do it. But you wouldn't have to do that. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have to have a class on that. It would just be automatic. They didn't have them, and I don't see one class like that in the Bible. Not a single class about that. So see, what we do, we say, man, I need to pray more, but see, a lot of times that's our flesh saying that. I mean, we got a good intention, and it's a good thing to think that way. But it's when we all we need to do is surrender more. When we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we will pray more, and that'll solve other problems in our Christian life, right? In the Trinity, all three persons have an equal place in prayer and in faith. Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is as indispensable in our life as faith in the Father and the Son is. The fourth thing, pray in the Spirit for all saints. Pray in the Spirit for all saints. Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6:18. And then we know that the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of intercession. We talked about that in our text in Romans. And mediation, that's... Boy, you know, great mediators. I mean, Jesus was a mediator between God and man, right? Moses was a mediator between God and the people. He was a type of Christ. And what are we to be if Christ is in us, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and we'd be mediators. We are interceding for other people, whatever those things may be. We do a lot for sickness, but it can be salvation, spiritual needs. If coldness, deadness, hearts, you know, things like that, we can be. And this is the spirit of intercession and mediation. Also, you know, intercession can be the same. It'd be the same. We can mediate and intercede. And another thing that happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. This morning I said this and say it a lot, and we know it's true, that our self is our worst enemy. And so selfishness is a big problem. Selfishness is a big problem. Filled with the Holy Spirit cures that. It just does. I mean, being filled with the Holy Spirit, suddenly there's this love that pours out of us for everyone, for every other person. There's and selfishness is gone, and we no longer want the things of God for ourselves only, but we want them for others as well. We want that more than anything. And then our praying changes. This is what changes. You know, a lot of times, listen, if we would critique ourselves, and we would look and see that, you know, a whole lot of our prayer is self-centered, selfish prayer, if we critique ourselves. But what happens, this is what happens when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's leading us in prayer. Our praying for ourselves becomes the means for preparing ourselves for effective ministry of intercession. This means that we start praying that for the things that would help us be more effective prayers, be more effective in all areas. It wouldn't be just for that, but I'm just, you know, it would be in every area. We would be the means that God uses us in the winning of souls and in the praying for lost and for praying for the saved people. We're praying for preparation. You know, God, you know, use me, help me, empower me, put people in my path. All those things. You know, this is what happens when we start to pray. The fifth thing, how faith works in being filled with the Spirit. How faith works in being filled with the Spirit. You know, when we get saved, I mean, people get saved and we're looking for a lot of things. And sometimes there's things we wouldn't know how to put a word on it, like what we're looking for. You know, what are we, you know, we always say, we break it down in real, real simple forms. What do we want in life? What's the thing that everybody wants in life? We want to be happy. If you boil it down far enough, that's we want to be happy. We want to be at peace. We want to be satisfied, have a satisfied feeling, whatever that is. We know that apart from Christ, you're going to miss most of that, any lasting thing. We're going to miss it. We understand that. But when we came to Christ, we may have wanted to have peace. We know we get peace with God. We were enemies with God, and we were made at peace with God. And then we get peace from God. But how did we receive that? How did we receive peace? You know, how did we know that? Well, we looked at God's word, and God's word tells us, right? Jesus said, "I'm peace." Every time Jesus got around anybody, he said, "Peace be unto you." He said, "Peace," right? And so we looked at God's word, and we found out about it. Now, we might not, you know, if you preach salvation, sometimes somebody say, "Well, I want to have a home in heaven. I want to be forgiven of my sins." Why do we want to have forgiveness of our sins? Because it takes the guilt away. And they may not even understand that's going to happen, but the guilt gets taken away. And when we don't have guilt, that's a peace involved in that, right? If you got a lot of guilt, you don't have peace. No, you don't have peace. But there's peace that's involved in that. And they might not even realize that, hey, if I get saved and I'm going to have a home in heaven and I'm not going to go to hell, they didn't realize that, hey, you know, all of a sudden, hey, I got peace. I got peace with God. I got peace from God. They didn't understand it. But maybe they get to reading the word, and maybe they get to hear him preaching on that, and they see a verse. And this is what the Bible says, just like the Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit of God, right? And they said, well, you know what? I got peace, and I believe that. I believe that. How did we receive it? By believing, by trusting in God's word. And it came by faith. And we probably would realize it experientially as well, that it came by God. And then we heard of God's love and this gift. You know, we might have heard that before we got saved, about God's love, his gifting of giving us Christ. But how did we accept God's gift? We had to believe what the Bible said. I was telling you, my buddy Chili, he got all excited. They're all studying the Romans Road. He sent me this picture, you know, Romans Road. I sent him a text back. I said, look, man, I've been studying this. I've heard this and studied this and taught this all my Christian life. I'm glad to see they're getting mainline denominational church. They're getting on the Romans Road. He was excited about that. We looked at the Romans Road and we saw that, right? We could look at that. I remember that one early on. Early on when I got saved, one of the first verses somebody shows you, Romans 10:9, they'll show you that in the Bible, right? They'll give you that. You can get saved with Romans 10:9 pretty easy, as long as you realize that you're lost before you get there, and then you got to back up to Romans 3:23. You can look at that and several other verses along there that'll tell us that. But we believed and we accepted the gift because we saw what, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We saw that in the Word of God. We believe. So what we do? We believed it. You couldn't get saved if you didn't believe God's Word, right? And we accepted what he said and the provision that he made and the promises that he made. And that made all the difference. So we may at salvation have known very little about the Holy Spirit. Maybe we didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. We just knew about getting saved. But guess what? The same words are talking in the Bible, talking about his indwelling presence. We've got it in the Word of God, the same thing. If we can believe what it says about Christ, and we can believe what it says about salvation, we can believe what it says about the love of God, the gift of God, the peace of God. Listen, we can believe the fact of the indwelling Spirit. It's just as real as that. It's faith there. And we learned about this power that's within us. We might say it again, once again, we might say, well, I don't feel it. I don't feel anything. The Bible says he's there. Don't have to feel it. You don't have to feel it. I don't feel like he's working. There's work going on in me that God. We may not have ever felt it, but I'll tell you what, if you've been saved a real long time, really saved, you look back at your life, and you say, yeah, God did a work. God did a work. I might not have felt it. You know, it's just like growing. How many of you used to say, well, you got growing pains? I don't think that's a bunch of hogwash. Huh? You know, I mean, you might have a toothache or something, but, you know, here we were itty-bitty babies, and we grew really slow, right? We didn't feel it. Say, woo, boy, I really felt myself growing today. My head's hurting, right? We didn't feel it, did we? But we grew, right? And all of a sudden, you look at your picture of yourself, and there you are. Parents used to put the little mark on the wall. You kept getting taller. We didn't feel that, but we grew, right? And in your Christian life, it's the same thing. You can look back at that old person and say, wow, God did a work. God, it was slow. It was gradual. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel a thing. But there was this change that took place. It's the same way. It's the exact same thing. And then we go through sometimes failure after failure. And we have to. You know why we have to? Because if we didn't fail, we wouldn't put trust in Christ. We'd put trust in ourselves. And we have to learn that we can't do it. Some people are hard-headed. I know we don't know any of them. And it takes forever to kind of learn, you know. And it takes forever and ever and ever. And we keep failing and failing and failing. And we kind of finally start seeing, hey, I got to trust Christ. So we have to fail. We do have to do that. We have to go through that. Don't worry about it. God's preparing us to find something out. That's what he does. And so by faith, by believing, by trusting what God says about the indwelling Spirit, believing and trusting that he is in you, working in you to do God the Father's will. And this includes your prayer life. He's working on us in our prayer life. Oh, I used to be so nervous, man, the preacher was going to call on me to pray. There's people in here right now, if I called on them, they'd have a heart attack. But you know what? You know how you do? You know how you do anything? You just do it. You do it. You pray. And you do it. And listen, it's the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in us. And you let him take over, boy, and you believe. You wouldn't believe how good you pray. when the Holy Spirit takes over. It's faith. We can trust and we can believe. So regardless of our feeling or even our experience sometimes, I know we do have experience, but not always. We don't see it maybe instantly. Right away, we may not experience anything. So no matter how we feel or even experience, the Word of God says that we have the indwelling Spirit in Him. God, just as much of the Holy Spirit's in me and is in you, and is in you that's in me. It's the same all the way around. Now, how much you surrender to Him is going to have a lot of bearing on what happens in your life. But He tells us not to grieve Him. Don't grieve Him by unbelief. Believe it. And trust Him. And so we were created by God for this indwelling. He created us for this. This is what we're meant. And Christ came to exhibit it in His life when He walked on earth. And then He died to win it back for us and to impart it to us when He sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and then when we get saved. The Bible tells us without the Holy Spirit, no one can call Jesus Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot worship God. You may go through the motions of worship, but you cannot worship, and you are not worshiping God. You have to worship in spirit and truth, and you can't do it apart from the Holy Spirit. And you cannot pray without ceasing, without the Spirit of God. You cannot do it. And so the Holy Spirit is given to the believer to be and do everything in him that God wants him to be and do. That's why God has given us this Holy Spirit. So all we have to do is believe, and we yield ourselves to Him. And boy, we yield to Him, and so we believe it. So have these thoughts. Listen, believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. I mean, just believe that. Get your head around that. If you can't pray, sit there and think about that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Beware of grieving the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit for all saints, and understand that faith is working in you, whether you really see it or not. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's all stand heads back.